Talk at times about some of these terms, seeing the Lord. It can sound so ethereal or spiritual. And today I'd like to really bring it down in a practical sense and look at one in the Scripture who found himself in a time of a crisis. The things that he had trusted on before were shaken. Everything was shaken around him. He didn't know what to do. But he was able to really find the Lord in the midst of the crisis because he saw the Lord. And it's interesting how this thought of our eyes being lifted up and seeing the Lord, our brother Bobby mentioned that in Psalm 121 to start. So it's like he didn't know what I was sharing on. I didn't know what his opening was. But the Lord orchestrates all this. So I'd like for us to turn and look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. We're thankful how we have this wonderful testimony. And really this vision of Isaiah, these few verses they're one of those majestic visions throughout all of Scripture. John had one on the Isle of Patmos. We know a couple others had them. But there's one of these few majestic visions that even the author finds it very hard to describe. We'll start in Isaiah 6, verse 1. Read through verse 8. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, or high and lifted up, as some translations say, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood around him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined or undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven or atoned for." You know, praise God, brothers and sisters, for these phrases here, because Isaiah found himself in a time of crisis. He says that this occurred in the year that King Uzziah died. And as we look at this, now, I know this is Isaiah and he was a prophet. And this was what we call his calling here. But we might not all call to be prophets, but we're all called. Each one of us is called to be servants of the Most High God. So the things we see occurring here are the things that the Lord is also doing in our lives. Now, just to set the scene here, if you look back at King Uzziah, he'd reigned for 52 years. And he was one what was called a good king. He did right in the sight of the Lord as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord. We see Uzziah when he came in, he restored the house of God. The temple there was flourishing. He had a mighty army. Agriculture, it says, is a unique phrase of Uzziah. It says Uzziah loved the soil. And he loved to farm and brought about agriculture and everything. And he rebuilt the cities. And there was a great prospering within Judah at this point in time under Uzziah that they hadn't really seen for a long time. And under Uzziah, Judah was actually a world power, which hadn't been because of some of the previous kings. But Uzziah had done a great thing. And tragically, because of the greatness within the things that Uzziah did, toward the end of his life, he became proud. That's a whole other story and a warning for us. But he became proud. He didn't repent. The Lord humbled him. He judged him. He became a leper the rest of his life, and last few years of his life, and he passed away. And then we see Isaiah here in this chapter. Now, Isaiah and Uzziah had a very close relationship. Some historians even raised the question, were they related? Nobody really knows for sure, but that issue is raised up. And Isaiah had only known one king his whole life. He had just lived under the reign of Uzziah. He had lived during this prosperous time, and that's all that he knew. And then Uzziah is dying, and it's really shaking Isaiah. It's hard to keep Uzziah and Isaiah. If I confuse them, I just try to figure out who I'm talking about here. So, but maybe, you know, unconsciously within Isaiah, he not even aware of it, but he had put his hope, his confidence, his security, even his success in with Uzziah. And all of a sudden, this one who had been so mighty and powerful upon the throne was no longer there. And the earthly throne was empty. And there was some chaos. There was some uncertainty there. And what does Isaiah do in the midst of the crisis? In this midst of the shaking, what does Isaiah do? He goes to the house of God. He goes where, in the Old Testament, that's where the presence of the Lord was. And that's where, in a time of crisis, where do we go? We go into the presence of the Lord. And we're thankful we don't have to go to a physical place because God is with us. But it's that turning unto Him, coming before the Lord, coming into that presence. And when Isaiah came into the presence of the Lord, what was the Lord's answer to him? The Lord, in a simplistic way, he just showed him himself. He showed him himself. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The Lord comforted Isaiah by showing him and giving him a revelation of the throne that's never empty. There's an eternal throne that's never empty. Even though the thrones and all upon this earth, and kings and men come and go, there's an eternal throne that's never empty. He is there. He's ruling. He's reigning throughout all eternity. He is forever the same. And the Lord just revealed that basic truth to Isaiah. And I believe the Lord wants to reveal that basic truth to each and every one of us, that in whatever situation, whatever type of crisis we're in, as we come to Him, He wants us to, it's a bringing us back of having a right perspective. He's on the throne. He's the same forever and ever. And if we go back and consider what Isaiah saw in this majestic vision, sometimes we read these verses and they can become familiar to us. But if we could put verses 1 through 4 back up again, I don't know if they're up there or not, but Isaiah 6, and just slowly let's go through this. And Isaiah 6, starting in verse 1, because we see Him sitting upon the throne. We see His majesty. We see His holiness. We see His omnipotence there as His whole train is filling the temple. It's really, truly that majestic vision of who He is and all that He's done. In verse 1, it says, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, high and lifted up. His train was filling the temple. Wow, I mean, just, we know of His robe. It was just, it was all, He's all encompassing. There was not a space where He wasn't, that His glory, His majesty was not displayed. And those seraphim are there. And they're in verse 2, and they're standing around, and they're, each has their six wings, and two covering the face, and two covering the feet, and they're flying around. And what are they doing? They're occupied with the King on the throne. And their eyes are upon the King. And what are they doing? They're crying out, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. No, it's Lord of Hosts. Oh, what a revelation. These ones, their life was occupied with worshiping Him upon the throne. And that glorious testimony, the whole earth is full of His glory. Praise God, brothers and sisters. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. We don't see that fulfilled in a fullness at this point in time, but we can look throughout all creation. That's one of the beautiful times of spring. It's wonderful, as we've just been at home, being able to see the glory of the Lord blossom forth in all of the different plants and the shrubs as they come out. Whether they're in the azaleas or the hydrangeas are blooming, the astilbes are blooming, the roses are blooming, all the different things blooming forth in the showing the glory of God and His wonderful creation. And we see how, because it was, there was such a power, such an awesomeness there, that the foundations of the threshold were trembling at the voice of him who called out. And the temple was filled with his smoke. Brothers and sisters, there was such a majesty that was there. And when I say there was such a power, and I think the more you just stop and meditate upon these verses, the Lord just, he reveals more and more of the glory of the Lord. Have we seen this? Have we seen this Lord? Praise God. Have we, the Lord, as the Lord met Isaiah, he wants to meet us in a similar way. He wants us to see his majesty, his holiness, his glory, that beauty, that our eyes would be upon him. Because the Lord, what was the Lord doing? The Lord was doing a work of getting Isaiah's eyes off of the earthly and onto the heavenly. Off of the earthly, the things that can be shaken, and onto the heavenly, to that things that can never be shaken. And what was Isaiah's reaction? When Isaiah, you know, we see he responds in verse 5, he says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined." Now, this is not an exaggeration or somebody trying to wax poetic and come up with some cute little phrase. When he saw the Lord, he saw that he was undone. He saw that he was unclean, that he was among a people of unclean lips. He's identifying himself with the people, sees he's a part of them. "For his eyes have seen the King." He saw himself. What he did, he saw himself in God's light. Brothers and sisters, that was what he saw himself in God's light. And as soon as he saw himself in God's light and he humbled himself, what did God do? God cleansed him. Praise God for that. He cleansed him because he had a purpose of serving. He says, "Whom shall I send and where can I go? I'll send." He says, "Send me, here I am." Praise God, brothers and sisters, for it. As we go back and look at this in a little more detail, you can kind of divide these verses into two sections. Based on Isaiah's words, he says, "I saw the Lord sitting on the throne." And then he responded and said, "Woe is me." And then the second, he says, "I heard." The first was he saw. The second, "I heard." And then I said, "Here I am, send me." He saw that first part. He saw the Lord. He saw, he had that revelation. And the simplicity of that, he simply saw the Lord. If you look at different ones' testimonies, think of Paul's testimony on that road to Damascus. First, he saw the Lord, that light, that bright light. And then he heard that voice. And he said, "Lord, what shall I do?" And if you think of it, in Ephesians 1:18, it talks about the eyes of your heart being enlightened. But it doesn't stop there. So that we will know the hope of our calling. He opens our eyes to see him, but that's not the end. We're not just to see him. There's a responding to him and responding to the call that he has upon our lives. And today in this great time of shaking, and we see how the Lord is wanting us to see him in a fuller way than we've seen him before. And many have already mentioned how everything is shaking today. You know, around the world, it's a worldwide shaking. And the church is being shaken, families are being shaken, the economy is being shaken. You know, as we've heard often, the economy was going great a few months ago. And many were putting their confidence in it. And we don't know what the future of the economy will be. It depends on whether you're an optimist or a pessimist. But our eyes are on the King. And we know he's Jehovah Jireh, and he will provide for us. Whatever is ahead, he will be the one providing for us. We're thankful how in this, I see one of the blessings of the Lord, because in the last years, there's been such an attack on families. And it's like the Lord provided a Selah for families. Sometimes it's maybe a little chaotic Selah at home, but it's like, the families were getting distracted and dissipated, and the enemy was coming in every which way. And he said, "Okay, I'm going to shut you in. The family's here together. Start having meals together again, maybe having some devotions together, some fellowship, some prayer. that families would be, wouldn't be destroyed, but families would be recovered. And so we start to see, just as we heard in that psalm this morning and in these verses, in the time of crisis, the Lord wants us to see Him. He wants us to know Him in a way that He's in charge, that He's won the victory and that He's overcome, and that our hope and our confidence is in Him. And how each of us could have our vision, our perspective adjusted. Because if you look at this story of Isaiah, what changes? None of the outward circumstances changed. Uzziah was still dead. Everything outwardly was the same. What changed was Isaiah's perspective. He got his eyes off of the earthly onto the heavenly, and he was able to offer himself to the Lord. And that's why in this time where everything is shaking for us, we see how we have to honestly ask ourselves, what are we putting our hope and our confidence in? Have we subtly been relying upon an Uzziah? Maybe that Uzziah is our job. Maybe that Uzziah is our education. Maybe that Uzziah is our family, our meetings, or whatever. We can see big men of God, whatever we can, various things out there. But praise God, the Lord in His great mercy, would our Uzziahs need to die? Whatever we're dependent upon other than the Lord, our Uzziahs need to die so that we find ourselves in a fully and greater way of having that dependence upon Him. And how do we know that our eyes have seen the King? How do we know when we've really seen Him? I think we know, as we see here in Isaiah, that we see Him as He responds, "Woe, for I am ruined. He was nothing in the light of God." Do we know the utterness of our ruin? You know, if you look at Isaiah was what we call, he was a good person. He was serving the Lord before Uzziah died. He was a good, upright, moral person. And in the world's eyes, everybody said, "Oh, Uzziah, you're such a good guy." But when he saw the Lord, when in the light of the Lord's presence, he said, "I am undone." Because there's a whole different perspective. And today, you know, what is our standard? You know, is our standard, do we compare ourselves with others? Is our standard with the Lord? You know, do we think because we're doing this, I'm a little better? Or maybe compare ourselves to other believers, consciously, unconsciously, that this or that, we're a little bit better? Our standard's the Lord, and He wants us to have our eyes upon Him to really see and know of all that He's trying to do. Now, have we come to that point of really seeing and knowing and coming to a place of saying, "Woe is me, for I am ruined"? It's coming to that place of, and Paul had this experience. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Do we, you know, and it's really a tremendous revelation to, we have to realize that within ourself, without Christ, within, if you're just looking at the natural Mac, there's a wretched man living within me. There's a wretched man living within each one of us. And that wretched man is never going to change. And we're never going to be able to improve it. It is there. We have, and what we were talking earlier about another, there's a monster living within each one of us that is out to destroy us. But praise God, we've got the victor that has overcome that also living within us. And the only way that wretched man, the only way that monster gets empowered is when we give him power. When we take our eyes off of the King and we look at that and we try to do stuff in ourselves, that empowers that wretched man. But praise God, we can see as Isaiah did. If we become more and more conscious, we need to be more conscious of our uncleanness, of the wretched man that we are. Having that perspective, but we'll see in a minute, we also need to become more conscious of the cleansing that has been provided for us. But how do you really know? We talk about seeing the Lord. How do you really know if you've seen the Lord? And You know, in a simple way, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he was humbled. He was broken. He was down on his knees, we could say, before the Lord. He was really humbled. But you see ones at times when they say, I've seen the Lord, and there's a spirit of pride within them. There's a proudness about it. It makes you wonder, you're acting like that. Did you really see the Lord? Is that just in yourself? And so, but I think when we really genuinely see him, there's a humbling. And this is what happened to Isaiah. He was unaware of his uncleanness. And the Lord showed him in his light how unclean he really was. And when we're unaware of our uncleanness, that is a dangerous spot. Because that's what happened in Malachi. They were unaware of their uncleanness. That's what happened in Laodicea. They were unaware of their uncleanness. That's a sign of end times. Are we unaware of our uncleanness? But praise God. You know, when we become unaware of our uncleanness, it doesn't stop there. We don't have to sit around in a pity party and say how wretched and bad we are. Because I love these verses, because as soon as Isaiah saw, oh, I'm undone, it's immediately, it says in verse 6, he says, then one of the seraphim flew right to me. Praise God. How quick the Lord responded to Isaiah. He took that coal off of that altar, came and touched Isaiah's lips and cleansed him. There was no delay on the Lord's part. There was that live burning fresh coal off the altar. How quickly the Lord is there to meet us when we repent. The Lord isn't asking us, oh, you've got to wallow in your self-pity and your condition for a while. No, as soon as we turn to him, we see that he's right there. And as I mentioned, how we need that greater revelation, yes, of our uncleanness, but also of our cleanness, what he has cleansed us of. And that's why we remember him at the table every day. It's interesting as you look in Isaiah here, you don't, within Isaiah, you see the relationship between the throne and the altar. He saw the throne, that greatness. But how could he really come and stand before the throne? It was because of the altar, because of the cross, because of the work of Christ. How can we stand in the presence of God? There's a relationship between the throne and the altar. As we've allowed that cross to work within us, to cleanse us, we're able to come into the throne room of God and not just creep in, but we come in with a boldness. We come in with a confidence. Why is that? Because we've seen the King. Our eyes are upon him and we see this great salvation. We see how he's cleansed us and what he's brought us into. We're so thankful for that. That's why when the Lord called out to Isaiah and he said, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Isaiah's right there. Here I am, send me. And he says to each one of us, whom shall I send? Praise God. Isaiah wasn't focusing upon who he wasn't, but he was focused upon who he was because he had been cleansed. And do we see the contrast here? We consider, just think about Isaiah's response here when he says, here I am, send me. He simply makes himself available and waits. He doesn't say, you know, when the Lord said, who will go? He didn't say, I will go. Here I am, I'm going. No, he said, you send me. There's a big difference between I will go and you send me. We see that difference. there's a need. I'll go do it. There's a need there. I'll go do it. Do we wait on the Lord till he says, you go. I will send you. You send me. Are we dependent upon the Lord in such a way that he would send us? Isaiah didn't even ask questions about, well, where do you want me to go, Lord? What do you want me to do, Lord? Well, how about, I saw this need. Can I do that? Why am I doing this? No. He was fully surrendered. He had a captured heart. And he was offering that acceptable service and that sacrifice to him in a way that the Lord could use him in any way the Lord desired. Isaiah didn't know what was before him. He didn't know this call, but he had seen the King. And it gave him a whole new perspective on life. All he wanted to do was to follow and serve this glorious one. Have we been captured? Is our hearts captured in such a way like that, that other things fall to the side, and that we would be those that could respond like Isaiah? As we said, in these days, it's a days of training. And really, we should be worshiping the Lord, because this is a tremendous opportunity. We're going through, for most of us at this point in our life, and I'm one of the younger ones here, but we see how we've never experienced anything like this before. And what an opportunity to go through an experience for the first time. You know, the next time a pandemic comes, everybody says, oh yeah, I remember that one. You do this, that, and that. But we didn't know what to do. I mean, you have all these experts, but really nobody, all the experts, nobody knew what really to do. But we had an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to find the Lord in the midst of an uncertainty, an opportunity to find the Lord in, we don't know what's ahead of us. Is this pandemic, is it going to come back? Is it going to resurface? Depends on whether you listen to these politicians or these politicians, whether it's going away or whatever. We don't know. But we know whose eye, we keep our eyes upon Him. We would see Him, we would hear Him, and we would obey Him. That we would have a captured heart. That whatever is before us, we're willing to go forth, because we know He's gone before us. So may our circumstance, may the focus of our life not be upon the circumstances of this world, but a change in perspective, that we could really see Him. You know, do we spend so much time on the internet looking for answers that it's all of a sudden the internet becomes our God? And we got this website, and I love it. Get all this information, or this website. Brothers and sisters, would we take this time to really see the Lord in a fresh way? And why is He shaking? He's shaking, as we said, because of purpose. He wants us to have that change of perspective, to come back to Him. And as we go through a shaking, and some things are falling off, what is our response there? Well, let's close. Let's look over at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, 28. Well, maybe start at verse 27, because I've referred to this verse so much. Probably good just to read it. Hebrews 12, 27 says, and this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of the things which can be shaken, as the created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, look at our response here. Let us have grace, or show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. What's our response, brothers and sisters? It's like that Romans 12, 1. We're offering ourselves to Him for an acceptable service. There's a poured out offering of giving ourselves to Him. It's not just so that we make it through a crisis. It's not just seeing Him. It's seeing Him with an end in view, because He's brought us into a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Do we see that we're citizens of that kingdom? Regardless about the politics of this world, our citizenship is in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Would we know the solid and sure foundation we have there? And that as we respond, there would be that acceptable service with reverence and awe. That reverence of seeing the King. Mine eyes have seen the King high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. That glory, that holiness, that majesty, that omnipotence. Oh, here I am, send me. Here I am, I want to be living for You, Lord. Brothers and sisters, may our living testimony be in this day that my eyes have seen the King. My eyes have seen the King. And maybe it doesn't even have to come off of our lips, but our lives would reflect that. Not just in words, but in life. And that we say, here I am, send me. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that in the midst of the current crisis, we have a hope that is sure and steadfast. We have an anchor that holds within the veil. We have a king that's sitting upon the throne in all glory and majesty. And Lord, we do come and we all would confess that we need a greater revelation of yourself. Lord, we're thankful how you have revealed yourself to us. Lord, we have seen our King. But we know that just in the little bit we've seen, there's so much more of you we want to see. And the more of you we see, the more we see of ourselves in your light. Lord, that we could continue to be those decreasing. Because you must increase and we must decrease for your glory and honor. That you would have a people, Lord, fit for the Master's service in this day. In Jesus' name, amen.